Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. We're also on YouTube, so we have YouTube videos, a video of this actual podcast and other content. This week on the show, we are doing Dr. No and Moonraker. That's right, you guessed it. It is our first James Bond week with the impending Daniel Craig movie, our last Daniel Craig movie coming out. We figured we would highlight Mr. 007. Please check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course our website, podcastnamedtim.com. And you can see links to all the wonderful movies we've watched, to all of our audio podcasts, to everything. And also, we're now on one extra platform. We're on Facebook, so if you follow us on Facebook, you can listen to the podcast directly through Facebook. Our RSS feed's hooked up, ready to go. So, I'm Zach. Dad, how are you on this evening?
Fantastic.
One of us has to be.
Yeah, it's a little later than normal, but...
Later. As I mentioned to you off air, I'm crabby this evening on top of some homeowner duties. I have some bones to pick with some things we've watching. I got some hot takes I'm going to be spewing. It's going to be a good night. It's going to be good. Going to be a good episode. I'm feeling my bones.
Yeah.
What else have you been watching other than these lovely movies?
Let me tell you. What have I been watching? I started that new show, August American Rust. American Rust? Just a couple episodes of that, so I don't know much about it yet. Okay. Jeff Daniels. Kind of a small town, little, I don't know, some little rinky-dink show on Showtime. I watched that new documentary on Netflix. The 24 Faces of...
Sure.
Some guy up in Ohio State, he was, I don't remember this. It was in the 70s, but I've never heard about this. He was raping some people and doing some bad stuff, but as they got into it, they realized he was a multiple personality kind of guy.
Right.
Maybe. Then there's split decision whether or not he was full of shit or if he really was. He definitely has the background for it when usually it's if you, you know, because they start you out with this thing about how bad a person he is.
Mm-hmm.
In the second episode, they show you that he was, you know, beaten and raped mm-hmm. by his mm-hmm. father and tortured and tied. You know, you're thinking, well, okay, geez.
Right.
Just led with that.
Yeah.
But so it was okay. It was kind of rough. Like I said, I'd never really heard of it. Then, poor brother. Went upstairs after we got done watching our normal office, our block of office, and watched something. And did something he never does. He appeared back at the door. It's like, what? He goes, something I just watched I think you're going to want to watch. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So you mean like right now? He goes, yeah, I'll watch it with you. So you're going to watch something right afterwards? It was a show, though. I thought it was a movie at first.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It's one of their, it's either number one or number two of their hot picks right now. Squid Game.
Okay.
It is a Korean show.
Okay.
Fantastic so far.
Okay.
It's 9 episodes. We're 6 in. We watched 3 yesterday, 3. You just finished up the next 3. Cool beans. It is quite unique. The Koreans have gotten something right on this formula. They've their films look good, look interesting,
mm-hmm.
and they're just intriguing. They just really are different, and even if it's somewhat of an idea you've heard before, they just have a very different take on them. This is we'll say a group of people getting together to play games.
Okay. You know, I would agree with you on your sentiment about Korean film. And in fact, I would encourage people to go into the archives where we highlighted, we had an episode I think a year ago, where we highlighted three different South Korean films. We also covered a North Korean film a couple weeks ago. So, you know, we all on that. We all on the stuff.
Yeah, so far I haven't really been. I think there was one Korean film I watched that we said was okay. It was still liked it, but I can't remember which one what it was called. But for the most part, things I've watched from that that part of the neck of the woods has been pretty interesting.
Yeah.
We're of course watching subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, because you know that's just it's a sin to watch it any other way. Now I won't watch it any other way.
Yeah, I know he is a Puritan.
Yes, he is not gonna watch the dub version, which I wouldn't in this, but yes, that was good. What else? Just here and there, normal stuff. Nothing. Everything's starting back. This is that week whenever all your fall shows kind of start popping back up, and you're like, oh shit, I ain't got enough time in my day to watch. I didn't realize I watched so many shows.
You watch a few. I watched the first three episodes or three chapters, whatever you want to call it, of Star Wars Visions. I would encourage you, not you mainly, but Alex, which I know would require you to watch it. It's anime. They're very different, even in the first three, different styles, different just feel. You get the whole breadth of the anime spectrum. But I have not finished the other. Liked what I've seen so far. You know, some good, some bad. But again, the longest one is probably like 20 minutes.
Now these new characters?
This is all original stories and non-canon. They basically just said, here's the Star Wars universe. Go play in it. Do your anime thing. Do what you want. Have fun.
Now, is that what Below Deck is for Star Trek? So it's not anime, it's animation. But
I think that's more like we're going to take like a Family Guy kind of Adult Swim thing and do that.
I almost started watching that today.
Because I think the point of that is it is more self-referential humor.
Okay.
And this is just go tell anime stories within the sandbox of Star Wars.
Okay.
It's been very good so far.
And where's that at? Disney?
Disney Plus, baby.
Because Disney owns Star Wars, right?
So I watched a few of that. I don't remember if I mentioned this last time. Did I tell you about Kamen Rider?
Yes.
Okay, I couldn't remember if I watched a few more of that. It does one really annoying thing, and I don't know what the point of this is. So a lot of times in their fight scenes, in order to either hide the action or heighten the intensity, I don't know what their purpose is, they flip the camera upside down during some of the fight scenes. And it's not just a one-off. It happens at least once or twice an episode. Not every time, but it's completely inverted upside down, and that's the fight scene.
Where are you watching that at?
Tubi.
Tubi, okay.
Tubi. But yeah,
it's just... I had to find a... When I was editing the podcast from last week, you had mentioned it, so I was trying to find a video or a picture of it to stick, and it was kind of hard to find a...
It is
one that I definitely knew what it was.
Yeah. It's on Tubi, because they got all the... a lot of that kind of stuff on there, so... So yeah, that was weird. That is all I have, I think. I started my once a year I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited, which is the comics subscription. So once a month I plop down $10, catch up on all my Star Wars comics, and then cancel. So I am in the month.
All right.
I'm catching up. So I started that. But that's it, man. That's it.
I feel like I'm missing something really big that I watched.
I guess we can talk about. Do we want to talk about Russell T. Davies, the showrunner of Doctor Who, is returning to run the show again. He is the person that I think and my friend, all of my friends who like Doctor Who, and the ones who got me into Doctor Who, big Russell T. Davies fans. I don't think like any of the stuff once Moffat took over. I sent them a message. It was the the most responsive, most just talking we had had on. We have a messaging app we all use.
Alex said, "Oh, I might watch again then because he says he's not going to watch this last Jody one." Yeah. But I kind of talked to him, and let's just go ahead and let's see how they finish it out. But
I think everyone kind of had the same sentiment, like, oh, maybe we'll get back into it.
Well, it was the rebirth of it in 05 is when he brought it back. And Christopher Eggleston. And of course, the best Doctor Who ever, David Tennant.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree.
I mean, that's my opinion.
But... I agree. So, exciting news.
He said, I know they kept saying all these people, throwing out all these people. They've been throwing out names forever and ever, but he said today, I read a little clip today, that he doesn't want to make any decisions until Jody has finished her tour. Okay. He thinks that's fair, and that's, I agree.
That's fine. That's fine.
Let her do her thing. And I do not blame all this on Jody.
No.
She was not my favorite, but I don't think it was all her.
Yeah.
So I'm not being a chauvinist pig and think a Doctor Who has to be a male and all. But
well, speaking of chauvinist pigs, let's get into our James Bond movies.
was that a Connery reference?
I think it's just the character.
Connery was not exactly, he was known to be a pretty big chauvinist pig.
Let's take a quick moment to pause. We are going to start with Dr. No, and we'll be back in just one moment. All right, so Dr. No came out in 1962. PG rating, 1 hour and 50-minute runtime. 95% on the tomato meter. 82 from the audience score. A 7.2 on the IMDb ratings. Directed by Terrence Young. Of course, stars one Sean Connery and Ursula Andress. Is that how you say that name? And of course, I believe this is the first Bond movie. It is the proto Bond. The one that launched a giant film franchise that's what, almost 30 deep at this point, maybe. This was your selection for the week. So I will go ahead and say it. I have seen this one, I believe, once before. Although I didn't remember all of it. I really, really enjoyed it. It was fascinating to see how many of the Bond stereotypes of how much of the formula was present from the first film. Because sometimes, you know, you get those franchises and it takes some time to build up what the formula is. And it was just, it was all there. every single thing you would want in a Bond movie was here, including a theory I'll talk about in a moment, or not a theory, a formula, part of the formula I noticed. But good villain is always key to a good Bond film. I liked Dr. No. I liked his and Bond's interactions with each other. Could have used more of Dr. No. But other than that, I think this is, I mean, it's clear why it was a success. Sean Connery was great. Pierce is my Bond because that's who I grew up with, but Sean's always number two to me. I'll have more to say, but what did you think of Dr. No?
Bored out of my mind.
I knew you were going to say that.
Wow, that was slow, and I was bored. I thought it was horrible. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like anything about it. The villain, I thought he was horrible, ridiculous. It was, I don't know. It just, I've always said Sean Connery is the only James Bond, but then I'm starting to think, you know what? I'm kind of bored. I don't know. I didn't get it. I didn't think it was all that great. And that Ursula Andress scene that's supposed to be all famous, yeah, she walked off out of the water, big whoop to shit. See, picked out and get it. That was stupid. That beach scene went on forever and was dumb. It didn't have all the cool It didn't have all the cool gadgets and yeah, some lame ones, but you know, okay, a dart and a thing, a cigarette. Boring. You know, the office was lame looking, and the the suit was nice. Yeah, he wore a nice suit.
Good.
The hairpiece was okay. It was one of his better hairpieces along the way. It was just, they went to one place, Jamaica. It was like, Bond's supposed to go from here to here to here to here. I didn't think there was any action or adventure, and I just didn't care one way or another, and I was completely bored with Dr. No.
I thought one of the interesting parts was and especially compared to Moonraker, which we'll get into in a moment, but the scope of the film was so small. And not just the sets and the budget and stuff, which you could easily tell, but it didn't feel like typically, and maybe it's become bad with Bond movies, but they've become so much the world is ending and you got to stop it. Yes. And this felt more like a, smaller. I did not get the dragon thing, the point or this. The nuclear stuff, fine. We can hit on that, and that's easy to hype up. I didn't get the whole bit about the tank that had a flamethrower attached to it.
Yeah, that was the beach scene. I was talking about. It was just ridiculous.
It was.
I'm in the huge minority of this. I know this is like a James Bond people would hang me up and take away my license to kill, but it is boring. I was bored.
So one of the Bond formulas it hit me when I was watching Moonraker, actually, but it repeated in this film, which made sense. There are three. Obviously, Bond is a very sexualized character and sometimes maybe a little bit too much. Maybe sometimes a little too aggressive.
You've been counseled, Mr. Bond.
But what I've always noticed is there are three types of Bond women in the movie. And let me clarify three types of women he bangs. There's what I'm going to call the extra, which is the woman, the quickie, the one that's always in the beginning of the movie. We met her in a previous adventure in the opening scene. He always banged that chick.
Right.
There's always the villain, the girl who's trying to poison him or kill him, but they end up having sex anyway.
Where she go?
And then there's the Bond woman, the Bond girl. It's the ally, but it takes them the whole movie typically, and eventually they hit. That's it. Those are the three. Those are the three categories, and that's the formula. And in Dr. No, it was executed to a T. He meets that one opening girl in the first scene. They bang. There was the villain. They bang. And
I think it's Shag.
The Shag. Yes. But... that's the formula. You got three. That's it.
Right.
I did like his suits. I would have liked some more
action.
I kind of like the pacing of it, and I understand where you're coming from, and you're not wrong. But I appreciated it. You got to remember this is early '60s, also.
Right.
So this was high intensity action for the time.
Called James Bond watches cars rust.
I can't believe you didn't like Dr. No, the character.
You see who should have played that? Who was going to play that?
I did not see that.
Well, I didn't know Ian Fleming was related to this guy. It was his cousin. Sir Christopher Lee is who he wanted to play Dr. No.
I mean, Christopher Lee would have been great in any role in any Bond film.
I think the funniest thing I read about this is what it came out. They corrected, I guess, before it actually hit the screens, but the Japanese offices and had this listed as they don't want doctors. that's what they thought the title of this movie was going to was yeah. that they took it out. They don't want doctors. So yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure why. I settled down here. Thought, all right, James Bond. You know, I think I like James Bond movies. I've watched James Bond movies. I guess I didn't watch this era of James Bond movies. This was before my time. I've never read Ian Fleming, so
I've never done that either. I thought the opening, you know, the important to have the opening montage of people and stuff. I thought this one sucked.
Yeah, those little dots were pissing me off.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was gonna have a seizure, but yeah, it needed a little something. I liked it. I understand your concerns, but
lack of a movie?
There was a movie here.
It's a pretty big concern. I had.
He was doing detective work.
I guess I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what my problem was. I was in a good mood.
Okay.
I was ready for it. I really wanted to watch it. Dr. No is a big. Dr. No.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and hop to our next one, because I think you have exhausted your opinions on Dr. No.
I got nothing else to say about Dr. No.
I can tell. Well, our other film is Moonraker.
Different era. Jack Lord was in it, and I didn't know Jack Lord was in it.
Yeah. So, new movie.
You know who Jack Lord is, right?
I don't know who Jack Lord is.
Huh?
No. What? I probably do.
That's Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen. That's McGarrick. Steve McGarrick from Hawaii Five-0, the original.
Okay. On to Moonraker.
Yes, Moonraker.
So new Bond, new era. We're in 1979. PG rating, 2 hour and 6 minute runtime, 6.3 on IMDb, a 60 on the tomato meter, and a 43 from the audience score. Of course, it is Roger Moore. And of course, there's some other people in it. Michael Lonsdale, Lois Childs, did I say that? And Richard Kiel is, of course, reprising his role as Jaws. This is my selection of the week. I should say Bond is investigating a space shuttle that has been stolen. And now they're trying to figure out what's happening. What did you think of Moonraker?
Loved it. This was awesome. This was action after action after action, place after place, crazy action. The shuttle flying off of a plane, which is ridiculous. This was my kind of movie. This was James Bond.
I thought it was
suave. He was debonair. He was dressed nice. He had the cool gadgets. He had a little bit of the sarcasm, a little bit of the silliness. He had the women. He went from all these different places. We weren't stuck in one little boring place. He was in, Rio and Italy and, Venice and Rome and up in space and all over the place. And the opening scene was awesome. That was a killer opening segment. The jumping out of a plane without your parachute, that was incredible. Heart pumping the whole time. Paced.
I felt like Roger Moore. I hated it. So
what?
I hated it. I felt like Roger Moore was playing Bond. Sean Connery was Bond. Roger Moore was playing Bond. It's a difference. Mm. Now, to be fair, I'm going to go on a little tangent, a little side tangent. My experience with this film was ruined via Pluto television. Let me tell you something about Pluto TV. I know you complained about us watching Tubi and their commercials. Pluto TV is the biggest piece of fucking shit on this planet, and let me explain why. And very easy. One, it's too many goddamn commercials. Two, I don't always watch movies at once, which is fine. When I do it on Tubi, I can fast forward to where the fuck I need to watch it. It'll show me one set of commercials and then play my fucking movie. When I put it on Pluto, they give you an option. It says, would you like to resume your movie? Or would you like to play from the beginning? And I pick resume. And you know what the fuck happens? Plays the goddamn movie from the beginning. And then I have to fast forward to each commercial break and watch every fucking commercial break to get to the fucking part of the movie I was at. Also, half the time you can pick closed captions and half the time you can't. Either have it or don't. So it took me 3 viewings.
Oh.
And each time I had to fast forward and wait for the commercials to finish.
See, this is unfair.
It is unfair to it. But fuck Pluto TV.
So never pick anything on Pluto TV again.
Yes. Jeff Bezos, who owns, if I recall correctly, has purchased the James Bond library, just put it on Amazon Prime, homie, and call it a day.
I thought it was.
I thought it was too.
I think it was for a little bit.
I'm assuming
time.
He owns Pluto TV too, and he's just like, suck it. You all got to go to this place now. Watch my damn commercials. Maybe some more money. So, tangent over. Pluto TV sucks.
Amazon Fire Stick. So, anyway. I watched it with no commercials.
I'm sure.
No interruptions.
Anyway, I thought the Bond girl sucked in this movie. Her acting is
Holly. That's Holly Harwood from Dallas. She shows up a couple of years later and battles JR.
Her acting sucked. It was flat.
She was the same exact character in Dallas, so she can't act. You're right.
I've never really seen Jaws. I knew of the character. I don't think this was the first movie to watch with Jaws in it. They definitely hammed it up a lot with him. That was my issue with this movie. It was too hammy.
Guess I like my Bond with a side of ham.
This is why Pierce Brosnan's the best. He strikes the balance.
Roger Moore was really awesome in this. I don't know. I might have to watch some more Roger Moore and figure out who I like better.
I needed more space instead of how long it took to get to space.
It was all action scenes getting to space.
No, but here's the issue. It was just action scene for the sake of action scene. There was no purpose.
Welcome to James Bond.
There's still kind of a purpose, typically. It was just like, we got to go to Rio. Go. Rio was completely unnecessary. You could have cut out either Rio or Venice.
Rio, you could cut out. Couldn't cut out Venice. The hovercraft and turning into a man.
That looks stupid.
That was awesome. You're missing Bond. That's the Bond I grew up with, was the little bit of silly, campy, but not Austin Powers. It didn't go to that, but it was not quite as 60s serious as the Sean Connery movies were. Not quite as serious as the, they've gotten back to really serious now.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
I like Pierce. It's a good mix.
I know I've seen all his. I've seen all Timothy Dalton's.
Only one.
I saw most of Roger Moore's because, like I said, that's kind of my era.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen all of Sean's and I haven't seen all of Daniel's. I think I've seen a couple of them. So. And I love this movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
That's all theaters.
Well, and I think that also when it was funny when they were doing the Venice scene, all that popped into my head was, well, there's a better Venice scene in another movie.
Indiana Jones?
Yeah. Last Crusade. That's a better Venice scene.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I needed more space. It felt like it felt like all, and I also got like a lot of Austin Power vibes from this one because it felt like they borrowed from this one a lot.
Yes. I would definitely agree with that.
My favorite scene in the movie was actually when they were out hunting at the hunting area, right. And Bond shoots the guy in the tree, and that little bit, that was good.
That was hilarious.
I guess my other issue was I wanted Drax to, we kind of just knew who the villain was from the beginning, and I was like, all right, we know who you are. Let's get why you're bad, and let's get your plan. Right. Like Dr. No, they put him at the end for a reason, so you can get the reveal. This was, we're going to show you the villain in the beginning, but did not give you the plan until the end. So I just, either one or the
other. Didn't want to bog you down with all that crap. They wanted to get all that action out of the way.
Also, this movie violates my three-woman rule of Bond. There were too many women. It was too many women.
70s and 80s, man.
It was too many. You get one extra, one villain, one Bond girl. That's it.
Yeah. You put a few notches.
I did like Q. I really liked Q in this movie. I would say it was weird because the supporting cast of Bond was better, I think, in this film. Like Q and Moneypenny and all them. I also, and I think it was this one, I didn't get why the organization, what are they called? Who does he work for?
I can't remember what they're called.
Whoever he works for.
Something.
I didn't get why they were so jerky to Bond. I'm like, he's James Bond. Stop telling him he doesn't know what he's doing and putting him on leave for doing his job. Well, you embarrassed us.
Oh, you're talking about MI5.
Yeah, MI. Yeah. Not Spectre.
Oh, I thought you meant the bad people.
No, not Spectre. MI6 or MI5 or whatever.
MI5, yeah.
I didn't get why they were being mean to Bond.
They're British, man. You got a protocol. You got to follow protocol. And you're going to have to at least look like you're following protocol.
So here's, I don't know if you looked at the trivia for Moonraker?
No, I didn't.
So there's a couple bits of trivia that were interesting. First and foremost, I guess, apparently the director or the writer's son was the one who pitched them on Jaws making his face turn. Because he liked Jaws and he didn't understand why he always had to be a bad guy. So that was from the kid. The big news here, though, was the cost of the film. $30 million. It cost nearly as much as the first 8 James Bond films combined.
Because it had
this
gadgets and gimmicks and stunts and man, you didn't like that opening sequence?
That's fine.
It's one of the greatest opening sequences.
I mean, there was a better skydiving opening sequence in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, but
oh, I thought you were gonna go with Point Break.
That too. No, I went deep. Daddy. Deep cut, baby. I thought it jumped around a bit too much, honestly. I thought it was too much of the formula, too amped up, too many women, too many locations, too many gimmicky things. I just thought it was just reserve it a little bit. Give me one or two new
gadgets. It wasn't boring.
I thought it was boring. I fell asleep.
That's because he had the commercials and all that.
apparently, one of the original directors had some comments to say about the film and its cost. And pretty much said, the cost of my opening sequence of this movie was more than my whole movie combined. Like, it was an
awesome opening sequence.
It was good. It was good.
Loved it.
What did you think of the bad guy's plot?
I don't pay attention to that shit. Who cares about that? It's like peeking in the brain. They're trying to take over the world. We get it. Moving on.
You didn't have any thoughts?
It was all right. I mean, you know, it wasn't. Sorry. Okay. It was so much better than Dr. No. That
I disagree. And you know what's funny? I think, and I'm not saying I'm not a Bond aficionado or nothing like that, but I think the hardcore Bond guys are more of the Dr. No variety.
Oh, I'm sure.
And don't like the Roger Moore years
right.
as much.
Well, I'm not bothered with that. It's like Goldfinger. Boring.
I liked the, like with Connery, I liked his almost dry delivery of insults.
Well, he's Scottish.
Yeah. And Roger Moore was just like, I don't know, it was punny.
It was punny.
It was punny bullshit.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, difference in a Scot and a Brit.
You can be, you know.
Look. It was a better movie.
I think it's fascinating. I did not
know this was coming out. Probably knew how this was coming, that I was going to hate that one and not like this one.
I thought you were going to not like either.
Oh. No, Moonraker was awesome. I loved it. It had my heart racing. And, oh, man, yeah, I was done. I was like, yeah, there we go. That's James Bond.
Which order did you watch them in?
Dr. No first.
Okay, I did the opposite.
Because I watched Dr. No before we even announced it.
Yeah, I did the opposite. So both of us felt like we had an initial Bond movie we had to get through. maybe that was it. We just gotta get through one and then you're getting the move. I am surprised that.
Oh, and again, I am 100% positive that I am in on both of these, that I am in minority, the opposite of most people. I get it.
Okay.
That's fine.
So you, while we're talking about Bond, George Lazenby, have you seen his? I have not.
Not seen his.
Okay.
And I've also never seen or even understand Casino Royale. Not the new one, not the Daniel Craig.
The original.
The original Casino Royale.
Yeah.
I don't really understand because it's like, what, David Niven, Peter Sellers, Woody Allen.
Oh, I don't know.
Landers, I think, is actually into someone else.
I thought Sean Connery was in it.
No. Casino Royale is a spoof. I don't think Ian Fleming has anything to do with it. Because it's way after. It's like in
67. Yeah, it says David Niven, yeah.
And it's, kind of a spoof from James Bond.
Orson Welles is also in it.
What's that?
Orson Welles is also in it.
Orson Welles is in it. He's the bad guy, I think. It's got a ton of people in it. William Holden, I think, is in it. I'm trying to say, it's got a ton of people. I just have never watched it, and I didn't really understand, like you. I thought it was a Sean Connery movie because I saw the year it was made, so I just assumed. And then when Daniel Craig remade it, now, from what I understand, the Daniel Craig is the same storyline. It's just not a spoof. They didn't make it silly.
William Holden's in it, too?
William Holden's in it, too.
God, what a cast.
That's what I said. It's got a huge cast. But I think it's, and I've never watched it. I don't even know what it's really about. I don't really understand, except for, like I said, it's got the same plot, I think, as the Casino Royale we know. But done tongue-in-cheek and silly.
So you'd probably like it.
Which I'm not a David Niven or Peter Sellers fan, so.
Peter Sellers?
Neither one of them. David Niven's really dry. And Peter Sellers, I hate the Pink Panther movies, and after that being there, the people blew up my ass bigger than anything for all those years, and I finally watched that, and that was one of the biggest pieces of shit I've seen.
Actually, all three of the movies that he is associated with, if you just pull up the IMDb page, the first ones, you hate all of them.
I do. I hate that Bomb one, too.
Yeah, Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
You're also not an Orson Welles fan.
I wouldn't go that far. I liked him in The Third Man.
Oh, I thought we hated that. With a Stranger.
Yeah, the clock and the German.
Yeah, the stranger. Yeah.
I like that one, and I like his voice. I like his powering voice and how he does stuff. It's just that one movie that I can't really deal with.
What's that movie?
I don't even know what it's called anymore. Led Rose, somehow. One of Wonderful Life, Light. It's another shitty movie.
I did not realize. I you were correct. I thought this was a Sean Connery film, just like you said, because of the era.
I did too all the time. And then I saw that I somehow saw Woody Allen was in it, and I looked it up. I was like, wait a minute, what? What the hell is this about?
You immediately were like, what's going on here?
Yeah, because I don't understand where that's from. Oh, I was going to look it up and say some shit about it, but I didn't think that any of us would care. So anyway.
Okay. Well, I think that is all we got for this week. It is very rare that you and I, one, disagree, but also disagree on both movies for a week. This was the first.
It's happened a few times.
It's very rare.
But it's not rare that I'm always the right one.
I think I am right.
You what?
I think I am right. You've taken the hipster position. Or is it more hip? Is it more hipster to be like, I like Sean Connery because he's the original? Or is it more hipster to be like, you're just contrarian, is I guess.
I'm just an asshole.
Oh, well.
I'm just being a dick for the sake of being a dick.
Well, we have decided for next week, since we're pushing up against it, and probably going to be going into it anyway, we're going to go ahead and hop into our October scary films.
Halloween.
Yes. I did not set any parameters, so it's kind of a free for all. Just whatever scary movie you want to pull out of your ass. And no, you shouldn't pick that movie. Then we'll go ahead and we'll watch. You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
I go first since you're not taking mine. Okay. You're not going to pick mine anyway because I'm not wasting a movie that I already watched. So you're going to watch Malignant. Moving on, next.
Nice.
I am picking that. Okay. I meant to talk to you about this, thinking maybe we should do like a new horror movie now, and then one week of Hammer, one week of Zombie, one I'm week of that. Vampire, one week. Yeah. But we'll talk about that soon.
That's fine.
You don't have to do a new one this time because we didn't talk about it.
Mine is a newer film. It's from 2018.
This is the newer one.
Okay. It's called The Cleaning Lady.
Seen it.
Have you?
No.
Oh, okay. I believe it is on Amazon Prime.
I have seen it, just not seen the movie.
I saw the movie poster and I was like, that looks interesting. That was it. I was just like, I like the movie poster.
But you like the movie poster of The Prophecy too.
I like a lot of movie posters. You know, I'm an easy man to sell. Just give me a good movie poster. I'll pick your movie.
So, in other words, this movie just basically has to have a cleaning lady in it.
If there is a cleaning lady in it, I have a very simple rule. Message delivered.
Are you going to do a cleaning lady?
Six out of six.
Now, is the cleaning lady like a maid? Or is I believe the cleaning so. Lady like the cleanup service like a mafia uses?
No, it looks, she's got some glove rubber gloves on. It looks like a cleaning lady. Like a
maid.
Yes.
I don't think it's a bad word. You still say maid.
Well, I was trying to think of the other fancy word for what's
domestic
it called?
Cleaner.
No, what's the au pair?
That's a babysitter.
Yeah, but it's all in the same vein. You're in the service industry of
you're not cleaning if you're an au pair.
You're cleaning shit up.
It's just off their ass. You ain't gotta dump it out of the trash or anything.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my film.
McLean. It's a beautiful French word and butchered it just then.
What?
An au pair.
Is that what it is? I don't know. I can't afford it.
It's yeah, as you say, it's French for a babysitter we can't afford.
Yeah.
They live with you usually. And
I know. I know someone has an au pair.
And they're usually very hot.
Well, when you see the movie poster, I'll let you be the judge of that.
I think I have. I'm pretty sure I've seen it scrolling through the 3,000 times a day that I scroll through stuff looking for something to watch.
Okay.
Well, that's... I started Parks and Rec.
And how are you liking it so far?
Well, Amy and I tried it once before, and we didn't get through 2 episodes.
Okay.
I am now really into The Office. So Greg Daniels is the showrunner for both of those. Mm-hmm. And it has the same kind of formula to it a little bit. And I've also worked in government. I did everything. I did DMV and Parks and Recs and all that. So I've kind of got a little bit of more background to what they do. And we have watched, I've gotten more into Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like about 6 episodes in. And yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's not The Office yet. But we'll see, because I think The Office started out being funny by the second episode. This one's still kind of building characters, and I'm still kind of... Each of them has some funny things, but it's still not like... I don't see... At this point, I won't see me watching it over and over and over and over and over and over.
Okay.
We'll see.
I've watched a couple episodes.
You have?
A few. Like 3 or 4. More episodes than I've watched.
Do what?
More than I've watched of The Office. I think I've watched 2 of The Office.
Then you watch Diversity, which is the second episode, which is the one that Comedy Central has now taken off of their rotation because of it, which is ridiculous. That's the whole point of it.
They did the same thing with that one episode of South Park. The one where they had all of the religious figures together.
Oh, I think there's a Seinfeld they've taken to in there.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Well,
I read that they were questioning. Just, you know, move on.
Yep.
But anyway.
I'm excited.
Cleaning Lady. Well, I might go watch that right now.
If I recall, Malignant is on HBO Max.
Malignant is on HBO Max.
Will do.
Yes. And okay. I don't know if it's leaving. You know how they pull those sometimes?
Yeah, let me see when they're pulling it. I think they give it like a month.
It'll be on Pluto next week, so don't worry about it. It'll be all right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't do Pluto.
Disgusting.
I think your grandmother watches some stuff on Pluto.
Let me clarify. The live television of Pluto is fine. Their on-demand service is the shits.
Let me rant about another show.
Yeah.
9 Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
8 hours that Amy and I will never get back. That is a horrible show.
Where's the show at?
That's on HBO. Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
It's an original Hulu. Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy. It's got other people too. I just can't think of.
And you watched
Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon's in it.
Okay.
It went nowhere. I mean, you started here, and that's pretty much where you ended. 8 episodes of just nothing. And it's hailed. I'm seeing it being hailed by... No, terrible. It's
Oh. By the way, enjoy your movies and televisions now. We might be running into an issue. Read a story the other day. The union for the production union people's... Apparently, they're thinking about having a vote on a strike. Not happy about money. Not happy about long hours. Wants more breaks. So enjoy your movies while they last. I wouldn't go on strike when my industry is pretty much in the shits. But that's just me. I wait till we're doing a little bit better and then do it.
Well, you know, again, there's so much already out there that I haven't watched. I'll be fine for a long time.
Yeah, we'll just, you know.
I'm good to go. New stuff usually sucks anyway. Yeah. Most of it. I'll just watch The Office again.
Just, you know, pick your spots. That's all I'm saying.
I'll tell you that I think we're like 7 episodes from finishing this run of The Office.
And this is run number...
This is run number 5 for me and 2 for Alex. Maybe 3 for Alex. The kid, he knows it where he can pretty much, when it comes on, start telling you things are in this lines, right? And he's already asked if we can start again right afterwards. So, why not? It's that damn good.
Nothing is that good.
it's somehow sold me.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's so Malignant and The Cleaning Lady for next week. And then more the week after that, just so we can plan ahead. You want to do what you want to do. What you thinking?
Zombies.
Zombies. Boom. Done. We'll do. We'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim.